You, Matthew chapter number 13 this morning, very first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 13. We'll read verses 53 through verse number 58 responsively this morning. I'll read verse 53 out loud and then you'll join me on verse number 54. Matthew chapter number 13, we'll begin in verse 53, read down through the end of the chapter, verse number 58. Matthew chapter number 13, beginning in verse number 53, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief."
And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it changes lives. But most of all, thank you that it changes eternities. 51 years ago, a little boy in a primary church service heard a man preach on hell, trusted Jesus as a savior. And God, I've been saved for 51 years because of that. Lord, would you take your word and would you speak through your servant today? May your truth penetrate deep into our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our spirit. Change us and change eternity by it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to keep your Bible open. I want you to look at one verse with me, and then we'll use that as our launching point today. Matthew chapter 13. Verse number 58, look at me while everybody gets settled. I personally believe this is one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible. We read right through it and don't think about it. But Matthew 13, 58 may be one of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Jesus himself, God in the flesh, limited himself and did not do the great things he wanted to do because people would not believe him. He could have revolutionized their lives in eternity, but because of their unbelief, he did not many mighty works there. I don't know about you, but I never want God to say that he will limit what he does through Grace Baptist Church. Before 5 o'clock this morning, as I got out of my truck, I looked up at God and I said, "God, there she sits. It's your house. Would you lift the top off and not limit us today?" I don't want God to limit what we do here at Grace Baptist Church. I don't want God to limit what he can do with your life. I don't want God to limit what I can do with my life. I'd like to go out giving it everything I got. I got to work with Brother Hiles for many years. I'd hear him say, "I don't want to retire, I want to retread." That's kind of where I'm at. I don't plan on retiring. I plan on blowing out in the pulpit, going home, having a heart attack, and be in heaven. Amen? I'd rather not die while I'm preaching, but if I do, it's a great sermon illustration. I want you to notice something. Jesus wasn't talking about foreigners. He was talking about his own family and his own neighborhood. Look at verse number 54. "And when he was come into his own country," He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence hath this man all these things?" By the way, that sure does put a hurting on the Catholics that believe Mary stayed a virgin her whole life. Jesus had at least six brothers and sisters. Named four brothers, and it says, and sisters. Well, sisters is plural. That means there's at least two. Everybody doing all right? If we just read the Bible, it's amazing what it says. God has been mighty good to Grace Baptist Church. You've heard me say this through the years. We see miracles on a regular basis here. I don't know about you, but I like it. And I don't want God to stop it. I don't believe miracles were done away with ever. I know they haven't because I've seen them. I've seen countless miracles. But I believe most churches believe that the time of miracles is past because they don't do anything to get one. They don't live by faith enough and believe God enough to get one. Can I tell you something? Look at the four walls sitting around you. You're sitting in a miracle. I didn't kill somebody to get it either. I almost killed somebody while we got it, but this is a miracle of God. The land that you drove on to get here this morning and to walk across to get to this building is a miracle. If you only knew the stories. You look at the people in this room, and many of you are here in a miraculous way. I look over here and I see Larry and Sherry. We're in a rental building down the road. They walked through the door one Sunday morning. I reached my hand out and noticed a tough, rugged hand. I thought, that's a man's man. I said, and I introduced myself, and I said, "Well, we're not real fancy here." He said, "Good, because I'm not fancy and don't like fancy." And he's not fancy, and he doesn't like fancy. But I remember preaching, and they were sitting about two-thirds of the way back on this side. I remember preaching, and we stood for the invitation. Larry's knuckles were turning white, grabbing the chair ahead of him. I watched Miss Sherry walk down the aisle and trust Christ. One of our men, I think it was you, Brother Barnes, I'm not sure who it was, but one of our men walked over and tapped Brother Larry and said, "Wouldn't you like to get saved?" And here he came. And a week or so later, baptized him. If you only knew how much of a miracle that was. How many of you remember Brother Fred? Now you talk about a miracle. I'm going to talk about you. In the words of Fred Skeg, who, me? Yes, him. The toughest, hardest man I've ever won to Christ. And that says something after 42 years of soul winning. Wally came and visited church. I told her I was going to come visit her. She said, "Oh, don't do that. My husband hates preachers." I said, "That's okay. I've met God haters before." She said, "No, you don't understand. I need to know when you're coming because I don't want to be there." So I told her, she wasn't there. It was one of those cold, rainy February mornings. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, just raw. I knocked on his door. There stands this giant of a man. He probably was 6'2", 6'3", and went about 260, 280. Standing in his bare feet, right in the doorway with the door open, and wouldn't budge. I introduced myself. We started talking. He had a little attitude. I gave him attitude back. And he went, "Ooh, never a man spake like this man spake." I started harassing him a little bit. We started talking. 35 minutes, that dude wouldn't let me in the door, and I'm freezing to death. Dripping wet. I thought, "You ain't got no socks or shoes on. I can outlast you." Fred couldn't believe it. You know, the next week he came to church. He sat through the preaching. I went back to visit him. He let me in the door that time. For the which I was pleased. For almost a year, Fred came Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They put him on hospice. He was about to die. I said, Fred, you got to get saved. He said, I'm not ready yet, preacher, but when I'm ready, I'll let you know. I said, you don't have much time. He said, I'm not ready. God healed Fred. They got him off hospice. Fred got sick again, went into a nursing home, and I looked at Wally and I said, look, either you call the ambulance or I am, because these people are going to kill him. I said, get him to the hospital. Got him to the hospital, and his doctor said he was about 6 hours from dying. There he is, laying in a bed, dying. And I said, Fred, you got to get saved. He said, I'm not ready yet, preacher. I said, you're going to fry in hell. Get saved. He said, I'm not ready yet. We got him out through that mess. My wife and I went to visit him. I sat down in the living room, and she and Wally went to the dining room and sat around the table and began to pray. And I looked at Fred and said, Fred, I don't care if you're ready or not, God is. And I gave him the gospel. I shot every bullet I had right at him. And I said, Fred, wouldn't you like to get saved? He said, I want to. I said, then what's stopping you? He said, I don't know. I said, don't let it stop you any longer. I watched that big old tough man bow his head and trust Christ as his Savior. Big old tears dripping off his face. I thought Wally was going to dance on the table. She had done it before, but not at home. But now, wait a minute. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Wait a minute. We had an old horse trough in that old building. I put baptized Larry and Sherry in that old horse trough. I baptized old Fred in that horse trough. You know, a couple months later, when the weather broke, I watched that man come out on a Saturday morning, and I watched Brother Barnes take him, dragging an oxygen bottle on wheels, going door to door, soul winning, telling folks about Jesus. Every time he'd go in the hospital, preacher, I need more tracks. There's not a doctor or nurse that has been near that man's bed that didn't get a gospel track. Not a one. He was dying, and he was down here at the hospice, and I had just been to see him. He wasn't responding to anybody, but he was very close to death, and he had emphysema and a bunch of other things. He was virtually strangling to death. He got a little agitated, and I put my hand on his shoulder. And I said, Fred, it's preacher. He just calmed down. I said, it's time to let the Lord take care of it. Time for you to go home to heaven like you want. And I prayed for him. Hospice is a quarter mile down the road. Left hospice, came here. Grabbed two phone messages from my secretary off the counter, walked in my office and sat down, and I got my phone rang, and it was hospice, and said, Fred just went to heaven. He just needed to know it was okay. Can I tell you something? I don't want God to limit the miracles. You see, God says, and he did not many works there because of their unbelief. You see, we want things our way. And our way often causes unbelief in what God can do. Folks, don't you ever limit what our God can do. There's a children's song that we used to sing a long time ago. Our God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Right. Hey, do you serve a God big enough to do anything?
Yes, sir.
Then why do we limit him by saying, well, I don't think God would do that? Ooh. Jesus did countless miracles while he was here on earth. He healed people. He raised the dead. He caused the blind to see. He did unbelievable things with nature, calming storms and waves. And he moved schools of fish, even put coins in the mouth of a fish to pay taxes. Oh, let's go fishing. Let's use some politicians for bait. I mean, Jesus even walked on water. The Bible says that if all the things that were written that he did, if they were written in the books, the world could not contain the whole of them. John chapter 21, verse number 25. But Jesus also said in John chapter 14, verse 21, listen to this, greater works than these shall ye also do. Now, I don't often have you talk while I'm preaching, but I'm going to ask you a question. Can God lie? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, you sound like Methodists. Can God lie? Yes or no?
No.
There you go. That's a little better. If God can't lie, and Jesus himself said, greater works than these shall ye also do. Does that mean miracles are gone then?
No,
they're not. You see, it does not sound to me as though Jesus wanted us to limit what he could do through our unbelief. Matter of fact, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Watch this. According to the power that works in us, to him be glory forever by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. If we're to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and it says to all generations forever and ever, does that mean now? Yes, it does. The problem today isn't that God won't do miracles. The problem today is churches that don't believe and won't live by what it takes to have them. I'm going to show you three things today that I don't want us to limit God in your life or in our church. Number one, past blessings do not guarantee future blessings. Past blessings do not guarantee future blessings. You know, Jesus did good works amongst these people. It didn't say that he didn't do anything for them. But he didn't do all he could because of their unbelief. As my children were growing up, there were times they wanted things, and there were times I wanted something better for them. But there were times they weren't going to settle for what was better, so I gave them what they wanted and held back that which was better. You say, preacher, you did that? They need to learn life lessons. Sometimes we want more for someone else than they want. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a grandparent, you really know what I'm talking about. Now, wait a minute. You want them to have some things. Sometimes things they don't want or might not know to want. Can I tell you something? How can we that are sinful give better than God? Our Heavenly Father knows what we want before we ask. But there's sometimes what you want isn't what he wants for you. Man, I learned a long time ago, quit asking for what I want. Okay, God, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. Say, where'd you learn that? I learned that from that man sitting back there, my daddy. When I started working at the age of 13, mowing yards and shoveling snow, my dad said, Don't tell somebody how much it's going to cost. Just let them pay you. Back at that time, that was back, there were mowers back then, by the way. I do still remember some, my neighbor had one of those rotary motors, or, you know, the ones that you push and it's only manpower with the blades there. You know, I always thought those were great till I had to use one.
Great.
It was fun watching him use it, but when I hadn't, that's not good. I remember back then, if you got $5 for mowing somebody's grass, man, you were in tall cotton. I remember mowing yards. They'd say, how much do I owe you? Whatever you think it's worth. It's amazing how many times I got paid more by not charging. My dad taught me a life lesson. He said, son, someday somebody's not going to pay you what you think it's worth, but somebody else is going to give you more. Don't worry about it. He said, don't get mad at the one that didn't treat you right. Somebody else treated you right, make up for their stupidity. He said, God will balance it out. Don't you worry. Thank God for a godly daddy. You know, just because God blesses you once doesn't mean he's going to have to do it again. May I say something? God is not a genie in the bottle and you rub it. He's there to serve you whenever you have a request. That's not what prayer is, but that's what we Christians have turned it into. God, here's what I want. If I don't get it, I'm going to have hurt feelings and I'm going to get mad and I'm going to leave the church and I'm going to hate the preacher and I'm going to hate you the rest of my life. Oh, my soul, how much I run into that. People are bitter with God. Psalm 78:41. Bible says this. Yea, they turned back and tempted God, listen to this, and limited the Holy One of Israel. He was talking about the Jewish people in the wilderness. They had seen the 10 plagues. They had seen God use Moses to protect the Jewish people from the plagues. The Egyptians had it for Pharaoh to expel them out. They got to the crossing of the Red Sea, watched the Red Sea dry up. They crossed over. It pulled back on top of the Egyptians, killed them all. Then they stood on the other side complaining. They watched Moses strike a rock and enough water to take care of 3 to 5 million people comes out. And that rock never failed for 40 years. The Bible says that that rock followed them. I don't know if it had legs. I don't know if it was a rock big enough that they put in a cart and carried it around. I don't know if it rolled by itself. I don't know if the influence just followed them wherever they went. But I know this, God said that that rock followed them for 40 years. By the way, the Bible says that that rock was Jesus. Then they cried because they didn't have food. They wanted the watermelons and the onions from Egypt. What a strange combination. God said, I'll provide you food every day. Wait a minute. They saw God provide the manna every day, provide their water, at times quail. They saw God protect them as they wandered. They watched their clothes grow as they grew. Sometimes I think that's a funny story. Can you see a 35-year-old man with baby booties on and a onesie? I don't know why I find that humorous, but I do. Moving on. After all this, the Bible says that they complained, tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Before you get too upset with the Jews in the wilderness, how much are you limiting God? Amen. The Jews were God's chosen people, but that did not mean that they weren't going to live like heathen. I was talking to someone recently, and I've said this from behind the pulpit before. The Jewish people are not the only Christians in the world. Matter of fact, I think it's a little stupid that we're going back to Jewish traditions to the people who crucified Christ. We're supposed to follow the Bible, not Jewish tradition. Jesus did away with Jewish tradition. Colossians chapter 2. My favorite verse in the book of Acts. Rise, kill, and eat, Peter. Lord, I'm not going to eat that which is unclean. Don't you call unclean what I've sanctified. Hoo-hoo. That means go shoot it, amen. If it's brown, it's down. Let's eat it. Bacon and pork chops and ham. Here we come. Now watch this. We need to live in such a way that God wants and God can bless us. That means we have to do our part. God's not going to bless you just because you are on the earth. God, I'm here. So? My children didn't get blessed just because they were born. They had to do something for the blessing to come. Everybody doing all right? How about we quit being used to was or Christians? Well, I used to. I used to do. I used to was this. We have way too many used to wasers and not enough doers. Just because God blessed you in 1960 whatever doesn't mean God has to bless you today. Just because you got saved in 1971 or 72 like I did doesn't mean that God has to bless me. I must live in such a way to where God wants to bless me. Number two. This one's going to sting. Belief requires action, not just thought. Belief requires action, not just thought. Belief is not a mental acquisition or a power of positive thinking. Oh, I believe these keys, if I drop them, God's not going to let them hit the ground. Guess I didn't believe enough, huh? That's how stupid power positive thinking is. Folks, you can believe all you want, but you can believe wrongly. There's a lot of people believe in evolution. That there was a big bang somewhere, and out of all the billions of particles, there was only one particle that made it and spin at the right time, at the right place, in the right orbit around the right sun. And the only one that has water on it. And there was one single celled amoeba where they don't know where it came from. And it swam and swam and swam and swam for billions of years. And finally decided it was lonely and divided itself. And they had so much fun between the two of them. They divided again and again and again and again and again. And it formed a creature that swam. And then those had many babies. And they got tired of swimming around. So they came to the top and said, oh, there's air up there. And grew lungs after millions of years. But they saw there was land there and didn't have feet. So after a couple million more years, they grew legs and feet. And they came out of the water onto the ground, stood up, but their tail got in the way. So after millions of years, they dropped their tail and now they teach in the universities. Can I tell you something? There are people that believe the wrong way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Done issue. Done issue. Belief is not the knowledge of a fact or idea. Belief is not, oh, I think this is going to happen and I want this. It's not a strong desire to get what you want. Belief is understanding a truth and acting on that truth in obedience. God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Did you know that the devil believes in God? Just because you believe there is a God doesn't mean you're saved. What is the truth that gets us saved? First of all, you realize you're a dirty, rotten scum of the earth, no good sinner like everybody else is. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. No nail prints. I'm not perfect. Neither are you. But that Jesus came and paid that sin debt for us. What was that sin debt? Death and hell. You see, the same punishment is required on our sin that was required of the devil's sin. Isaiah chapter 14, Lucifer was kicked out of heaven and God created hell for the devil and his angels. Notice that was prior to the creation of man. Who is it then that tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? The serpent, Satan. And when man listened to the devil, God said the same punishment has to be on man that's on Satan, or God would lose his justice. But, for the wages of sin is death. But, I love that word. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, amen, our Lord. Yes, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his righteousness and mercy he saved us. Right. You see, the truth is this. You're a sinner, so am I. Because we're sinners, we deserve to die and go to hell. But that Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, lived our righteousness for us, shed his blood at Calvary, died, was buried, and resurrected 3 days and three nights later, and is alive today. Hey, that's the truth of salvation. Now watch this. You can believe he did all those things, but if you never act on that belief, you'll die and go to hell. How do I act on it? Romans chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to tell God you're willing to trust him and him alone to take you there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's not a matter of knowing the facts. It's a matter of acting on the truth of the word of God. So, everybody doing all right? Knowing the fact doesn't make it true. Salvation is not knowing a truth. It's acting by faith. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse number 31. Bible says this. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I quoted it about four times earlier. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Oh, these famous verses. You think you know one of them, but you really don't know what it means. Look at John chapter 3, verse number 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Watch this. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten of the Son of God. Notice it doesn't say he didn't join church. Not about being baptized. Not about being righteous on your own, but believing on the truth that Jesus paid our sin debt for us. I didn't read the verse prior to these. Look at John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look at me in the book of Numbers. The Jews were complaining again, and God sent fiery snakes to bite them. And these fiery snakes, the poison from it would kill them. And Moses went to God and said, God, would you stay this plague? He said, I will. If you'll make a serpent, put it on a brass pole and lift it high, people who get bitten by these serpents, if they'll look at that serpent on the pole in the wilderness, I'll spare their life. By the way, if you see an ambulance or the medical symbol, we use it today. It is a serpent wrapped around a pole or a cross. It is a proof of healing. John 3:14 said, and as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even must the Son of Man be lifted up. It wasn't just the fact that the serpent was there. Someone who was bitten by the serpent had to look. They had to act on the truth that they knew before they were saved. I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about obedience to the word of God to get saved. Now, first of all, past blessings don't guarantee future blessings. Belief requires action, not thought. And lastly, we limit God when we question or blame God for consequences of our sins. I love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And some of you aren't going to like me right now, but I didn't come here for you to like me. I came here to preach truth. That's good. Look at verse number 55. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? What does that mean? Not only was God proving that Mary had not stayed a virgin the rest of her life, contrary to religious belief, but they were trying to bring Jesus down to ordinary man's level. They were trying to say, he's no different than his brothers and his sisters. He's just like the rest of us. He was born in this town. It's hard going back to where you grew up and around your family and living the Christian life sometimes. This next May, I'll be preaching in Ohio where I grew up. The Christian school that I graduated from in high school, celebrating their 50th year as a school. The pastor of that church called me last year and asked me if I would come and preach the 50th graduation sermon. I was humbled. I've already received emails and things from people. Well, who do you think you are doing it? I said, I think I'm a nobody. I'm the one that got asked. I didn't ask to do it. Say, does that bother you? No, just adds another point to the sermon. Yeah. Don't like it, you can lump it. Sugar, cheese, don't care what you put on it. You see, they wanted to bring Jesus down to man's level. They were trying to make him just another man. May I tell you something? Jesus was not the carpenter's son. He was the son of God. He was not the son of Joseph. He was the son of God. Mary and Joseph had not been together physically. If you went to Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says that Joseph was espoused to Mary and he knew her not until the birth of Christ. Everybody doing okay? They did not want to accept that Jesus was God. You say, why? Because back in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, he said, if you do it my way, you can be your own God. Humanism is the root of all sin. We want to be our own God. You could be as gods, knowing good and evil for yourself. You don't need God to tell you what's right and wrong. You decide right and wrong for yourself. That's where you get your alphabet soup crowd. You know, the LGBTQ rest of the alphabet. That's where you, oh, love is love. No, lust is lust. Sin is sin. Evil is evil. And by the way, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Two bulls don't make a cow. Just at the farm this week. Never saw a bull give birth. Never. Two roosters don't have eggs. Y'all getting a picture here? If the animals can figure it out, don't you think man who's supposed to have a better brain can figure it out? When we blame God for the consequences of our sin that we commit, we limit God. Folks, there's not a week of my life that goes by that I don't deal with tragedy. I mean that. Brother Hiles used to say, life is a veil of tears, and I didn't understand it. But Brother Brady, 33 years in the ministry, 55 years old, I understand it. There's not a week of my life that I don't weep for somebody. Not a week. Last Sunday morning, I got word of a young pastor couple. They just had their fourth child about 5 weeks ago. The mother woke up Saturday morning, right before Sunday, and the baby was gone. I've preached the funerals for the caskets that are that big. I got the phone call this week from a pastor. And he's about to have either a church split or they're going to try to vote him out of the church. Trying to encourage him. I told him if he needed me, I'd jump on a plane, go down there and stand in front of his pulpit and borrow somebody's gum. I said, I'll walk point for you, Doc. You stand for right. Doesn't matter what the cost is. Doesn't matter the cost. You see, please don't take this the wrong way. I don't have to understand, Brother James, why a baby dies. But I can tell you this. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We're all sinners. Miss Kathy, Brother Harry, was with you just recently when Miss Osi went to heaven. It's a result of us all being sinners, especially Harry. Wait a minute. Why should it shock us when there's consequences to our sins? God never said he would take the consequences of sin away. He said he would not hold us and judge us for our sins in eternity. When you get saved, you didn't become perfect. Look in the mirror, you'll figure it out. Just because you got saved doesn't mean God takes all your problems away. And it doesn't mean he takes... did you know there's a lost world out there with a lot of people? Miss Kim got hit by a drunk driver several years ago. She still has trouble with her neck and back. I don't think God looked down one day and said, I want Miss Kim to get hit by a drunk driver. That's ridiculous. I think after she did, God said, I'm going to protect you. And I'll take care of you. I remember the day she walked into our church and sat right back over in here. She heard me preach and I watched her head just do this the whole time with a big smile on her face. That lady encourages me like you'll never understand. God didn't say he was going to take all your problems away. These idiots, who's the cow, Bubba in Texas? Yeah, Joel Holstein, Osteen. You know, this health and wealth gospel. That's a bunch of garbage. The more money you give, the more God will bless you. And look at his bank account. God never promised. By the way, you go through this book, the greatest people in this book went through the greatest problems. God never promised to keep Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace, but guess who was in the fire with them? God never promised to keep you from any trouble. Brother Mike quoted 1 Corinthians 10:13 this morning. God not given to any man above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. God didn't say he'd take the temptation away. He said that by the temptation, you would find a way to escape. Sometimes it's by being bitten the first time. Sometimes it's, ooh, I've been bit by that before. I'm not doing that again. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Usually it's preceded by this statement. Watch this, y'all. Ain't going to be good. I don't need to question God why a child or a good person gets sick. Well, that just doesn't make sense to me, God. To me, God. Guess what? You're not God. It doesn't make sense to me why a 2-year-old gets neuroblastoma cancer and has to go through what he's had to go through. But can I tell you this? There's Christians all over this country and around the world that have been praying for that boy, and we're seeing a miracle take place. I don't like the fact that I might need a miracle, but I sure am glad when it comes. One of the first qualifications for getting a miracle is you need one. And if you're in a situation where you need a miracle, you're not in a good spot. Brother Joe, Ashley. I won't embarrass Ashley. Of course, their son Gus was born and severely handicapped. A bunch of idiot doctors told him he would be a vegetable, never walk, talk, or do anything. As I told Joe and Ashley recently, how can a bunch of fruits and nuts tell you that their kid's going to be a vegetable? I promised them years ago, if you just get your family in church, watch what Jesus can do with that little boy. I'm about to shout. He's in our Christian school. He's doing sixth grade work. He does math better than most of you. Trust me. This week, took pen and paper, word for word, in perfect penmanship, wrote out John 3:16 from memory. Not too bad for a kid that the doctor said wouldn't amount to anything. Is he perfect? No, neither are you. But God loves that little boy. Ashley sent me a picture of him, video of him. They were in the van traveling. And he was singing to one of the tour group tapes about being saved by the blood. I sat at my desk and I wept. I got on my face and I said, God, you're so good. You understand something. Ron and Karen, you understand it. That's a burden they'll carry with them for the rest of life. But the blessings that go with it far outweigh it. You say, preacher, why? I can't tell you why. I can tell you this. I promised them years ago, that boy's going to be my church greeter. If you know anything about autistic people, they don't like touching anybody. Gus loves shaking hands. I remember the first day he come charging up those steps and reached his hand out and shook my hand. Ashley almost sat down and cried. She said, preacher, that's the first time he's shaking anybody's hand but a family. I said, I told you, he's going to be my church greeter one of these days. In a few years, you're going to see him out there with me greeting everybody when you come through the door. And if that boy don't put a smile on your face, turn around and go back home. Can I tell you something? Needing that miracle stunk. But it sure is sweet in hell. I wish you could. I wish you could understand the joy of seeing God work. Doctors limited the Holy One of Israel. Doctors lived, he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. But when you take that limitation off of God, there's a 13-year-old boy that just had his birthday this last week. Cake! Who could sit down and write out John 3:16 on his own. Now I'm here to shout, I'll take that over winning a Super Bowl or a World Series any day. Angie, you take Mike. Been about 4 months or so, 4 or 5 months ago, working on a wall, 18 foot by 12 foot, collapsed on top of him. Broke his neck and back. Took him a long time to dig him out. Oh, by the way, he qualified for a CCW yesterday shooting bullseyes. Don't mess with the man. Yeah, buddy. Him and Linda, look out. Don't get in front of Deadeye Linda here. Her aunt was Annie Oakley, amen. Wait a minute. Angie, nobody wants to go through that. remember the day Bobby and I came to the house, and Bobby looked at him and said, "You don't know for sure you're going to heaven, do you?" "No." "Now, preacher, talk to him." He didn't say it that nicely either. Here's what Bob really said. "Mike, you're not going to heaven, are you?" "Well, I don't think so." "No, you're going to hell. Now, preacher, you talk to him." That's literally what the man said. About 5 minutes, I watched Mike bow his head and trust Christ as his Savior. Tears rolling down his face. Watched Angie and their niece bring him to church that next Sunday. Sat right back over here. I remember she didn't get saved till Sunday, but my wife, I think, talked to her and led her to Christ here at the altar. Do we want to go through that? No. Oh, by the way, he's getting feeling back. He's standing up without a... Say, what is that, a miracle? Now, needing one really stinks. But may I remind you of a sermon I preached recently. There was only one that got healed at the troubling of the waters. The rest of them went home without the miracle. Doesn't happen all the time. Doesn't mean we shouldn't ask for it. But I wonder how many times we limit God by our unbelief. I could go on, I'm not. May we not be guilty today like they were in Jesus' day, to where God would say that he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. Brother Brady, I wonder how many churches are cold, dry, dark, dusty, or for sale because the people sitting in them did not believe that God could do what he wanted to do. I wonder. Don't limit him on your salvation. Don't limit him by not obeying him. Don't limit him by not joining up with the right kind of church. Just jump on in. The water's fine, I promise you.